continue with the local review body. Are there any apologies?
Chair, apologies from Councillor DeVink and Councillor Montgomery.
The order of business
is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Are there any declarations of interest? Takes us on to item four, the minutes of the meeting of the 20th of January. Are there any comments? Taken as read. Takes on to item five, decision notice for Greenwell Grove, Milton Bridge, Pennycook. Okay. And item six, notice of review requests considered for the first time. Item 6A, 3 Toscana Court, Dander Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. The report relates to a review submitted regarding the formation of a driveway at 3 Toscana Court, Dander Hall. The proposal would result in the removal of a section of wall that bounds the rear of the property, which then actually fronts on to Edmundston Road, forming a 3 metre wide vehicle access and driveway. The planning application for the proposed works was refused on the 24th of November 2014. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, the 9th of March 2015. The review is to proceed by written submissions in accordance with set procedures. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the case file.
Would anyone like to make a comment?
Thanks, Chair. This, just briefly, what we've seen yesterday, there is an entrance to the house concerned off the West Road, which is adequate parking in there. If we're granted the driveway, then it'll probably be less parking on Edmondson Road. That was, which is what it would be a concern for the people who live in the cottages who have nowhere else to park, because they've not got any front gardens or anything that can turn into driveways. They've just got the on-street parking. So I would go along with the application to refuse.
Ian.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I tend to agree. I have a few issues with this. One being the destruction of quite a nice old wall there. I'd also have concerns that if that driveway were formed, it's very, very narrow, and the existing wall to the right as you go down goes right up to the pathway and might form an obstruction to seeing pedestrians or traffic indeed coming down from the right-hand side. That area as well would require what looked like a significant part of the grassed area, which is raised, to be removed. The slope would be quite steep, and I think if it were iced over, it could be quite dangerous if a car were travelling down there and it's braked on ice and with pedestrians coming along that you couldn't see. I'd be quite concerned about that. I agree with Alex that there's adequate facility for entering into that area and for parking. I really don't see why an arrangement can't be made to continue to enter by that route.
Thank you. Okay.
No, I agree with the others, and one of my issues, I think, is that Edmondson Road itself is fairly tight, and if you've got parked cars either side of the proposed entrance exit into that house could be quite a dangerous bit, considering its close proximity to the Wisp. You know, cars coming and going for there. So I think that's one issue. And then the others, I mean, there is another access anyway. It's not as if there's no access into that already. So I would agree with Alec and Ian.
Well, I take that's three people who are against or with the planners. Anybody want to speak on the other side? Okay, so we'll agree with what the planners say. takes us on to item 6B, land at 28 S Bank Road, Bonnywig.
Thank you, Chairman. The report relates to a review submitted regarding conditions attached to a grant of planning permission for the change of use of communal land. Planning permission was granted for a change of use of communal land to private garden ground and the erection of boundary fence at 28 S Bank Road, Bonnywig. The application was granted planning permission on 28th of October 2014, subject to conditions requiring the fence to be stepped back from the adjoining footpath by a metre and for landscaping to be planted between the fence and the footpath. The applicant has submitted a notice of review requesting planning permissions granted without those conditions. A copy of the decision notice, along with the officer's report, is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. Again, the local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, the 9th of March, and the review is to proceed by written submissions. Following today's decision by the local review body, a decision notice will be issued and made available on the file. Furthermore, as the planning application and the subsequent review is retrospective, it is also worth noting that if the local review body dismisses the review, then the council may have to use its enforcement powers to secure the repositioning of the fence and planting of appropriate landscaping.
Okay, Bob.
Yes, thank you. This has been a sort of an ongoing situation for some time, and I think there's been some misunderstandings on it. The position of the fence, as we saw, is back, slightly back from the pavement. There's gravel in there. There are similar things in the, elsewhere in the estate, as the applicant says. To move it back to allow a small grass strip, I think, would give little advantage. And these grass strips always seem to attract dog fouling in any case. I don't think be, I would grant the appeal.
My own view is that it would destroy the fence. You'd have to probably build another fence. It couldn't be repaired, I don't think. Has anyone else got any comments to make? Ian?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I have no issue with being allowed this appeal. Looking at it, I was a bit worried beforehand that there might be a little bit of amenity area lost, but I don't think so, and it would have been, you know, a grass verge would have had to be maintained. In any case, it's a minor amendment and is not out of keeping with the properties in the area. I would support Bob's position on this.
Anybody minded otherwise? Oh, go on, Derek.
Yeah, I'm not minded otherwise, but it's maybe worth making the point that the area in front, the front of that section, is indeed, whilst it's council land, has been maintained by the resident, and it is a nice open space which is well planted out, which actually helps with amenity. One of the comments I think I would like officers that are here to take back is, here we are again working in a silo mentality, where we have one part of the council who have agreed to sell a piece of land as private garden ground, and then we'll have the planners coming along and saying, well, you've paid for it, but by the way, you're going to have to leave a big strip of it as public open space for amenity ground. It would be better, before anything like this was sold in the future, that any restrictions that were on it were asked of the planners before it was then sold on, because quite easily it was within our reach to say, well, we'll let you have so much of it, but we'll keep a metre for open space, and therefore the applicant would have known where he was. But as it stands at the moment, I tend to agree that with the open space at the front and to the other side of the road, there's still a reasonable amenity as you're entering that scheme. So again, I would grant consent, but I would ask that we ask that there's some more joined up working between our estates department and planning when we're given any consideration to any open space sales.
Bob?
Just to say, I couldn't agree more with Derek. We're supposed to be the single council. That's what we're told the whole time, and we should be working together in that respect.
Chairman, I just take on board that, and I'll take that message away. I think in this case, what happened was the gentleman fenced it off before he bought it. So he took, he fenced the land off and then approached the council to purchase it. So that's, I think, how we got into this situation.
I think he thought he already owned it.
I have to
say, Chairman, I did have concerns about this because there are a number of bits of green space throughout many, many of our states throughout Midlothian that we actually sit here as a committee when these applications come up for 200, 300 houses or whatever, and we insist in green space throughout as part of an amenity for the residents that stay there. And more you see it. I could take you to, you know, a number around where I happen to live and where people have just decided that they would just put erect fences, and if you get away with it, fingers crossed, and nobody bothers, you get away with it. Other people have come through the system and you know, in a sense, pay the price for having to go through a process that's brought us to here today. I might have taken a different view if it hadn't been for the planning manager saying, notwithstanding what we do here today, if we are to refuse it and insist that they move it back, we may have to take enforcement action. And it just leads to more and more expense, and it doesn't give the council a very good name when, in actual fact, it isn't seen as joined up. And you know, that's why I'll just pull back on it. But, I mean, no doubt about it, people do this more and more and more. Now, are we, as elected members and the planning department, getting it wrong when we actually plan out these estates? And maybe we shouldn't be insisting on that if we're not going to manage it properly, or do we find another method of looking at that? Now, I know nowadays there's a lot of them. The housing developers end up appointing a factor, and then the factor is the person that has then got the responsibility, and the residents have to pay into that. That doesn't go very well down with people as well, because a lot of residents don't actually realise that they're going to have to pay in every year to keep a piece of land maintained. I don't think any of us have got this, not this particular application. I'm generalising. Yeah. I don't think we've got this quite pinned down yet, and I do think that we need to maybe go away and have a wee think about how we can do it better. I'm not saying that nobody did anything wrong. We've gone through a process. Yes, I mean, between the States Department and the Planning Department, that can sometimes be, maybe more joined up. I mean, we had one, for example, where the committee, another LRB, visit out to the cement works at Strayton, if you recall, where we decided to that piece of land. The applicants, as far as, and we decided that you should get planning permission as an LRB. They still can't get the States to move on it. You know, now because it's council on plans. So, you know, again, it's the other way around, where they've gone for planning first before they've bought it, and then estates are not necessarily going to sell it to them. And I just think sometimes we should get our own house in order first, Jeremy. But as I say, that's had my wee bit to say.
It was not so much an answer, Chairman. It was just to try and give a little bit of comfort insofar as when we look at brand new designed estates now, we are conscious of this sort of landscape anomaly, which, you know, so we're mindful. I'm not saying we've solved it, but we're hopefully making some progress with it in terms of new build. Obviously, there's a huge housing stock, so you've got all these little bits of land all over the place. But yeah, we are conscious as well and trying to learn from it.
So we're agreed that Tegan leave his fence where it is, and estates hopefully will speak to planning, and this meeting's over.